Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Richard Hartnell.
Boker Tov. Now then, if you're an Israeli or a Hebrew speaker, you would have answered Boker Tov. Because very simply, it means good morning. I could, given the time, actually have said Yom Tov. Good day. I could also say Laila Tov. Now, you might be wondering who Laila is. And if you're a Hebrew speaker, you'll probably be looking at me a bit gone out. Why are you saying good night? What I'm trying to highlight is that there are, within what I've just said, three examples of a very common word. In Hebrew, it's the word tov. In English, it's the word good. I just want to have a look at the word good, the word tov, today. It's a word that you will find in your scriptures. In the Old Testament, you'll find it at least 550 times. I say at least, because other words can be translated good as well as tov. You'll find it 7 times in Genesis chapter 1. Now remember that Genesis chapter 1 covers 6 days, not 7. So we'll come back to that. But let's just have a look at that for the moment. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And it goes on down. And God saw that it was good. And God saw that it was good. No less than 7 times in that chapter alone. Good is a word that we use a lot in English too. And it's a word that we perhaps are not quite sure about. What does it actually mean? What do you understand by the word good? We use it in so many different ways in these days. And doubtless, as time goes on, people find new ways to use the word good. I looked it up in the dictionary, and basically it means pleasant, it means satisfactory, it means suitable, but there's actually a paragraph about that long of other words that you can use to describe good. Now in English, we have many superlatives. We don't just have to use good. We can use better, we can use best, we can use excellent. There's a whole spectrum of words that we can use in this language, in English, which will describe something that is pleasant, something that's encouraging, something that's excellent. We can also use words like superb, exceptional, outstanding, marvellous. There's one point to make, though, so far as the Hebrew language is concerned. Remember that the Old Testament is written in Biblical Hebrew, and there were only 7,500 words. We have a vocabulary of around about 200,000 or 300,000. And if you bring in all the scientific and all the, you know, all the technical words and all the slang words and everything else, the vocabulary in the English language these days is pushing 500,000 and more. So how would you like to write a book with just 7,000 words in your armory? And to that extent, Hebrew is actually quite different to the way that we write our language. Hebrew is a language of colour. It's a language of poetry. It's a language of depth. It's a language of thought. It's a language of feelings. It's describing thought. When in English, we write a word made up of a number of letters, and that letter is just a letter. The letter A is just the letter A, and that's the end of it. However, in Hebrew, a letter has meaning. Can quite often have several meanings, and it will depend on the shape of the letter. It'll depend on how they view it. It'll depend on what they thought about it in the times. It'll depend on what they get inspired to think about. What does it lead them into? So the word tov has a number of much deeper meanings than just good. There was a Hebrew scholar and linguist that we know who asked a rabbi about this Hebrew word tov. I mean, who better than to ask an Israeli rabbi about something in his own language? And this particular rabbi, I believe, was also a linguist as well. And he responded in a typical rabbinical fashion. He said, "What makes an orchestra good?" Think about it. We could ask the question, what makes our worship team good? And you could answer, well, they could be in tune, they could be on time, they could be together, they could be following the leader or conductor, and so on. You could even say they could be in harmony with each other. And so the rabbi responded to the guy, because this Hebrew linguist had asked that question, made that sort of response, and the rabbi nodded and said, "That is tov. It's not just good, but why it is good." So that immediately then takes us into a whole much deeper, whole broader aspect of what this word good is all about. I mean, we can also think of those scriptures like, for example, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You say amen, but hang on. What does that good actually mean? Have you ever done one of those surveys that you get back on when you're doing something on the internet, and you know they come back and say, "Oh, will you spend a few minutes and just fill in these forms for us and grade our performance?" And you say, and foolishly you say, "Yeah, go on, I'll give it a couple of minutes." And they come up with either, you know, questions, and they say, "Will you grade us either from maybe from 0 to 10? That's actually quite easy. Or they will say, "Will you grade our performance as sort of very poor, poor, good, very good, excellent?" Have you noticed, you've come across those? Have you noticed how good ends up in the middle of the spectrum of, I don't know what you call it, goodness or whatever? It ends up in the middle. So he who finds a wife has found a good thing? Really? When I find my wife 48 years ago, I found a most excellent thing. Have you ever been up to somebody and said, "How are you doing today?" And he answers, "Good, thanks." And you go, "Yeah, right. What does that mean?" But that's how we use that word today. That's how our English language has evolved. In Hebrew, as I said, every letter of a word has a meaning in its own right. So let's just have a look at this word tov. The first letter, I mean, we in English would say tov, T-O-V, okay? And let's take the first letter first. Remember, of course, Hebrew goes from right to left, just to confuse you. So the letter that you see at that end is the letter Tate. That's the name of the letter. It's actually shaped a bit like an upside down U. Upside down? No, a right way up U, but with a sort of bit of a closed in top. Now Tate of itself has the meaning goodness. But wait for it. It also means harmony with God. Its very shape, this U shape, with a sort of it can be with sort of a closed in top that sort of points back down, is actually thought of as funneling in the goodness of God into your life. You start to see the depth we're starting to get, even with the first letter. The Vav is the second letter. Now, don't get confused. Tov, T-O. Oh, why is it not sounded O? I've just said Vav. Well, in Hebrew, just like some other languages rather close to home, we can write letters and say them completely differently. I was thinking about last night. Apologies if anybody comes from Welsh Wales. But you know the double L they would have in their language? It's very often pronounced the. A word can play some letters sounding completely different. Same here. I also actually looked up last night as well. Siobhan. How do you spell Siobhan? Who can spell Siobhan? Does it have a V in it? Yes? No? No? It has a B in it. S-I-O-B-H-A-N. You think, how do you get that? Okay, that's the Irish for you, I know. But it's illustrative of how we can say things in ways that appear not to be logical. So the Vav, in this particular application, the actual character of the letter is an upstanding stroke with a bit of a head leaning off to one side on it. But it has, it could have been spoken of two ways. One is V and the other is an O sound. And the way we tell these days is because there's what's called a little pointing mark on it, a vowel pointing mark on it. Comes in more appropriately in the next letter as well. But Vav, which we say O here, it's actually the second letter. Sorry, looking at the wrong line. It's actually talking about, because it's a vertical line, it's talking about a connection between heaven and earth. It's talking about a connection between each of us. So it's a horizontal connection and a vertical connection. The third letter is Bet. And that looks a little bit like an N on its side, with because it's Hebrew, the opening N is pointing the other way. And sometimes it'll have a little dot in the middle, and sometimes it won't. And that dot also is one of these sort of vowel-pointing things that came in about the 6th century A.D., so all the Old Testament is written without the benefit of A, vowels, and B, if anything to do with vowel pointings or any commas or any markings to give you a clue how to say it. So we don't actually know quite how the original Hebrew was spoken. We have the oral tradition that has been passed down, and that was brought in to what is called the Masoretic text, which you've, no doubt you've all heard. You see it in the footnotes on your Bible. You say, the Masoretic text said such and such. Well, the Masorets were a group of Jewish people living in the 6th century in the region of Galilee, and they came up with a system to enunciate and put punctuation marks and vowel pointings and things into the text. But they also wrote the Masoretic text. Now, it comes from the word Masoreth, which means traditional. So you're picking up the traditional oral tradition of the time, plus whatever was written down at the time. And they put the whole thing together. But it was those people who said, oh, right, if we take the letter bet and we put a dot in the middle of it, we pronounce it as V. And if there's no dot in it, we pronounce it as be. But what does bet mean? It is the second letter of the alphabet, so it does speak of a duality, but it also speaks of a home, a place filled with God's presence, love, heart, and blessings. So in this word, Tov, we are picking up a rich variety of understanding. So how can I... Let's take it back now. Let's go back into Genesis chapter 1. For example, let's look at verse 6 there. Perhaps even go back to verse 5. He's just made the light. God saw that light was good. That word there, good, is tov. So we could retranslate that verse as, and God saw that the light was good. He saw that the light would bring us into harmony with himself. It was funneling his goodness into us. It was providing that connection between heaven and earth, and between earth and heaven, and the connection between each one of his creation, each one of us. It speaks of something filled with God's presence, his love, and his blessing. And that was just the light. And that's repeated all the way down. I could go all the way through that lot every time it appears in Genesis chapter 1. And that's a description of everything that God created that was good. So we can say that his creation was going to bring us into harmony with himself. It was going to funnel his goodness into us. His very creation provided that connection between him and us, between God and man. That very connection that there also enabled each one of us as individuals to connect as individuals. It enabled us to speak with kindness and with love. But it also talks about the whole aspect of his presence in his creation. Are there not other verses that talk about you look into the heavens and you see the glory of his creation in the heavens? It's a thing that we were worshipping the Creator earlier on, and rightly so. Because if he's made a creation like that, and he's inviting us to live in it, with him, in harmony with our Creator. So, we then have to say, well, what really is our response? I mean, that's lovely. We can sit here and just say, oh yes, that's fine. But what is our response? Right, how do we react to that? I'm going to take you to the book of Micah. Now, Micah was a prophet, and he lived at a time when the northern kingdom was just about to be kicked out into exile. So we're thinking about 700 years before Jesus. And things had gone wrong in the northern kingdom in particular, and the Assyrians were coming against them. And there was Micah, and there was one or two other prophets around at that time. Micah himself lived in the northern kingdom, but he was actually prophesying to both halves of the kingdom. And he says this in Micah chapter 6 and in verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. It's the word tov. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, the word require in the Hebrew, what is it? Daresh or something like that. It actually has the meaning of to seek or to ask. it contains the idea of doing what it takes to make a discovery. The use of the word require, I believe, comes from a certain Western interpretation of Scripture. I feel it's better to be thinking of this more like God has told you what is good. He's told you in asking you, it also is asking you, what does it take of you but to do justice, to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Now, justice and kindness, we've been talking about earlier on today as well. But the word humble and humbly, what can we glean from that? It's the word sana. It's actually a root word, and in Hebrew, a root word always has three characters. And one of the root meanings of that is to draw as close as possible. So to walk humbly with our God is to draw as close as possible to Him. That's what we were doing this morning, drawing close to our God. Let's unpack that humble word a bit more. Again, three letters, tzada, means, carries the meaning of humility, but it's also emboldens the idea of righteousness. And subsequently, we can take that of the idea of a righteousness of man with God through Jesus. The noon, it comes second, talks of endurance, it talks of faith, it talks of faithfulness. It talks of an abundant life. And the ayin, the last letter, is talking about an eye. It's an eye giving a window to the soul. It's talking about spiritual insight and vision. Not forsaking the company of believers, would you believe? It's about coming together. It's about needing the advice, the counsel, encouragement from the body of believers to carry out God's plan. Is that not describing the church of today? Is that not describing how we should be? So, let's conclude all this. Let's bring this lot to a conclusion. Some preachers like to talk about bringing this thing to a landing. Did you see the Red Arrows yesterday? Yeah, how many times did they land yesterday? Quite a few, because they went around quite a few places in the country. So they got plenty of practice of landing. However, we were down on the south end of South Bay, and several times they came over the top of us. Noisy or what? But good. So, Tov, good. We're talking about bringing that thing into harmony with God. Receiving His goodness. We're talking about providing a connection. We're talking about something being filled with the very presence, His love and His blessing. And we're talking also about drawing close to God. Enduring in faith and faithfulness. Having insight and vision. And so in these days, in this very topsy-turvy world that we live in, where we have tempest and turmoil and trial and torment and trouble and tragedy seemingly coming one upon another, is this word Tov not something we shall hold on to? Is it not something we shall endeavour to go forward in, the goodness of God? To encouraging each other. Is it not the way of the Spirit in our life? Is it not the way that we should, the Spirit, and is it not the way of the Holy Spirit in us as a body, in Scarborough, doing all the things that we're doing? Is it not that that which provides us the desire to go on with God? Is it not that which enables us to reach out to the folks round about us, to minister to the folks as they come in here, to the little builders, to the folks in the creche, to the folks that come along to Cavern Club? Is it not that which puts a fire inside of us? We're talking about the relationship between us and our Maker. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. There you had the teacher this morning. We use all the gifts. I love the end of Genesis. I think it's absolutely incredible. After all that discussion of Tov, the connection between God, the relationship, the place of home. And when you get to Genesis 1:31, it says that God, and after, just before that, 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make mankind in our own image. And he made them both male and female. And then in 1:31, it says again, good, but it just adds another Hebrew word because it says, and God saw what he had made was very good. So I don't know how you're feeling about this morning, but just imagine all of creation is there and God looks over it and says it's good. And you've heard how much more beautiful a word it is than just our downtrodden really word of good. And then God looks at you and says, very good. It's something like method. I don't know. I'm not very good at Hebrew. But that word means more than, it means exceedingly more than. So God looks at you and all the wonders that it is in you. He looks at Joan and says, she is exceedingly more than good. Isn't that awesome? God looks at you and says, you are exceedingly more than good. You are exceedingly more than good, Leanne. Isn't that exciting? You are amazing. But it's just true of every person in this room. He looks at whoever is part of his creation and says, you are exceedingly more than good. It's never safe to sit at the back, but well done for trying. Isn't that awesome? I want you to take that home with you today. I'm not in a proud way, but just in a way that says, hang on a minute, I can walk down the street. No matter what I'm like, no matter what I've done, I'm forgiven in Jesus. And God looks at me and says, you are exceedingly or more, greatly more than that wonderful explanation you have had of Tov. Of just, wow. That's you. That's every person you look at. No wonder we cannot doubt. No wonder we value people so much. It's baked in right from the beginning of that Bible. It's baked into what God's view of mankind is. Sometimes people have a very negative view of God. How could God possibly be hateful or cruel or vengeful when he looks at people and says, you are exceedingly more than Tov. More than good. Go home with your head high. No matter what you've done this week, no matter what you should have done, you're forgiven, you're washed clean, and you are exceedingly more than good. I am exceedingly more than good. That's why I wear red shoes. If you can find some theology for that one, you've done very well. Have an absolutely fantastic week. Don't forget that we're here for God Encounter on Thursday at 7:30. And all the usual things are happening this week. The cafe's open. So if you've got time, pop in and give Brian a hug. And if you can knock on the kitchen door, you can hug Charlotte as well. All right, be blessed, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.